We're going to be talking soon about specific practices for mental health, but in this very short lecture, we're going to zoom out a little bit first. We can support our students to maintain their mental health, to overcome mental health challenges and cultivate sattva by teaching yoga in a way that is intentionally designed to reduce tamas and rajas and is mindful of contraindications for depression, anxiety, stress, and trauma. We can do this in four ways. One, share specific practices to reduce tamas and rajas, including asana, pranayama, and meditation. We're going to go into a lot of detail about how to do this in the subsequent lectures. Number two, offer variations of practices that are more likely to reduce tamas or rajas depending on the way that we practice them. Three, let students know the potential benefits of the practices we teach and encourage them to use the practices outside the yoga class to self-regulate and to cultivate a more sattvic state themselves. And four, avoid or provide psychoeducation about practices that have the potential to be triggering or imbalancing for students experiencing depression, anxiety, stress, or trauma. Okay, these four points are really important, and I really want you to remember them, so I'm going to recap. Number one, we share specific practices to reduce tamas and rajas. Number two, we offer variations of practices depending on the needs of the student. Number three, we let the students know the potential benefits of the practice we teach. And number four, we avoid or provide information about practices that have the potential to be triggering or imbalancing for students experiencing depression, anxiety, stress, or trauma. In addition to feeling the benefits in class, giving our students the tools to self-regulate can be incredibly empowering for them, promoting self-efficacy, which is a belief in our ability to exert control over ourselves and the world, which is associated with positive mental health benefits. It's important, however, that we only discuss possible or potential benefits, and we always invite students to try the practices out and experience the effects on their individual constitution for themselves. We don't ever want to presume that a practice will have a particular effect for students. We're all different, and we can never really know the effect it will have on a particular student on a particular day. So we can communicate what the effect might be, but always with the disclaimer that we're all different and that we need to find the practices that work for us. This is really important. Now, in the next lectures, I'm going to share with you practices that have been found to reduce rajas, practices that have been found to reduce tamas, and practices that have been found to reduce both rajas and tamas, and in doing so, cultivate sattva. It's not going to be an exhaustive list of practices by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a really good starting point. Now, as a yoga teacher, I imagine that you already know many of these practices that I'm going to share with you. However, it's likely that some will be new or that you'll learn a new way of teaching them. I really encourage you to try them all out and notice the effects that they have on your body, your breath, and your mind before sharing them with your students. I'm also going to share contraindications and precautions for individuals experiencing depression, anxiety, and stress, and trauma, so you know what to look out for and you can avoid practices that are potentially triggering, and you can hold a safe container if a student is triggered, as you won't be surprised. Okay, short and sweet. I'll see you over in the next lecture and we'll dive into yoga practices.